Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
Good Monday morning, everyone. This is Dave Dickey with the Mid-Morning Commodity Market Report. Let's go ahead and see how futures are currently trading. Hard red September winter wheat, 627 and a half, down 3 3/4. Soft September wheat, 537 and 3/4, down 1/4. September corn, 366 and a half, up 3 1/2. December, 375, up 3 1/4. March 15, 386 and a half, up 3 1/4. July, 402, up 3 3/4. August soybeans trading 12.25 and a half, up 13 1/4. September, 11.27, up 13 1/4. November, 10.98 and a quarter, up 14 3/4. August soybean meal, 401.90, up $3.90. August soybean oil, 36.28, up 19. August live cattle, 159.77 and a half, up 67 and a half. August feeder cattle, 220.50, up 225. And August lean hogs are 123.95. They are up 32 and a half. Joining us on the telephone to talk about the markets is Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Good morning, Kurt.
Good morning, Dave.
Well, usually, well, now often, at least, the last week of a month goes against the ongoing trend. Does that seem to be the case this week?
Well, we're starting out on a positive note. It's hard to believe that July is just about over with. But the trend being down and heavy selling here in the last couple weeks, it maybe warrants a little bit of short covering or buying interest to come in. The thing is, we have seen world demand interest pick up when you visit with the cash grain buyers. There's word that we've seen quite a bit of business take place on this price break-in through here, and it's been confirmed by some sales to Asia, of course, but even the most bearish cash guys are talking maybe corn down around this 330 area, you know, being some type of fall low on the December futures, and even bean futures, below 10 would be fairly good support. So we'll monitor that as we go, but Asia, Chinese economic news is a little better, and they came forward and bought some more beans, of course. But when you look at the big picture here, they're expected to import 72 million metric tons, so they're going to be a buyer on the world market every week or play fairly aggressive catch-up, because they'll need to be a buyer of 1.5 million metric tons every week to satisfy that demand, Dave.
And the U.S. has benefited from continuous problems down in Argentina with the meal. By now, we wouldn't be typically seeing this kind of old crop sale, but except for it does not seem our South American neighbors are able to get their export business together.
Well, that's a producer's dream come true, you know, having some problem somewhere else in the world other than, you know, your own county. I hate to wish bad luck on somebody, but, we're looking at record sales of meal and beans for this time of year. So the thing is, the excessive demand or extra demand we picked up, you roll that into the supply-demand balance sheet, this demand base for this coming crop year, and beans especially, is solid. And now the function is to make sure we have enough supply to fulfill that demand. And when you look around or talk to guys, they're comfortable with corn production for the most part, but the bean production number is still a question mark.
And is the narrative beginning to change at all in traders' mind vis-a-vis the weather? The narrative has been the cooler temperatures getting through pollination in good shape, so on and so forth. But we're looking at, I believe it's the third coldest July in the Chicago area, and I'm beginning to think that at some point, does the narrative begin to change that? Well, I mean, we're 8 weeks away from, 8-9 weeks away from black layer in the northern tier. Could the narrative actually pull us back on the yield some?
Well, it's, you know, started here last week, you know, the coolest temperatures. Ideas, we've set stuff back on even seed corn harvest anywhere from 10 to 15 days, even though they're gearing up to have more machinery because of the big yields. Harvest is going to be delayed for a while here, probably. You know, fears maybe we could see a little cooler weather come in. We saw good pollination weather, but the kernel feels the question. You talked about, you know, some record cool temperatures, but then we're seeing some fairly dry areas pop up, which could relate to some tipping back. The other thing is early pod setting in beans in some areas. And, you know, guys are just amazed at the pods here in July. Ideas are if they're podding early, we're going to have an early frost freeze too. So there's a lot of things out there to keep this market quite volatile and quite choppy here as we go into the 1st of August.
What do you make of the fact that the large specs, net shortened beans, for the first time since 2006, and I think corn, for the first time since February, are now net short?
Well, I don't have quite short corn yet myself, you got to remember the funds are trend followers. For the most part, they follow technical programs. When the green line goes above the red line, they buy. When the red line goes below the green line, they sell. So they're committed to follow the program. The trend has been down, you know, so they're going to follow the indicators they're supposed to. If they don't, they get in trouble. So the fear is, you know, just moving into a net short position. They're not huge shorts yet, so if we don't get some fundamental news to turn the gray marker higher, the trend could remain lower into harvest, and through here, so they'll continue to stay short or sell more.
Does wheat have a role in the next 4 to 5 weeks to help price discovery on corn or soybeans?
Well, seasonally and traditionally, once you get through wheat harvest, wheat tends to be the leader, or you unwind that short side of the wheat spread there. We'll see if that holds true. Probably the main thing to watch in wheat is quality, especially here in the eastern belt. A lot of toxin here in the east belt. Quality concerns here in the eastern soft red winter wheat specifically. So we're inclined to watch the spread more than anything, looking for Chicago to gain on Kansas City here as we go through this summer into early winter.
We're quickly approaching on another USDA report cycle, the August cycle. I believe we had a media poll last week where 20 analysts comes up with a number of 170. As well above where USDA is. Is USDA likely to take a good swing at it in August?
It's going to be their first survey. They're surveying now. I think you know, the average analyst guess is probably fairly on right now. I have the tendency to be at the higher end, but with some problem areas kind of surfing up and through here, that benchmark they say here is probably a good spot to be. You know, until we get through August. So we'll see what they come up with. We're getting to a point now that if the production continues to climb, they'll raise the demand side of the equation because the function of the market is to go lower, seek out that demand.
Thank you much, Kurt.
Take care, Dave.
Kurt Kimmel of Bates Commodities, and he is in Normal, Illinois. Current tick in the marketplace. September corn, 366 and a quarter, up 3 1/4. December, 375, up 3 1/4. August soybeans, 12.24, up 11 and 3 quarters. November soybeans, 10.97 and a quarter, and they are up 13 and 3 quarters. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM HD3 Urbana. It's now 10 o'clock Central Time.